and sickness.
Disgusting. They smell. They're sticky. They say things that are horrible.
98. Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to the Morning Sickness. My name is John Holmberg. There is Brady Bogan. There is Brett Besley. Big Dick Toledo. Off and running. What? It's Thursday already. How did that happen? I guess I should start the whole show with, hello, friends.
Yes.
A tradition like no other, the Masters begins again. On time today, and F you, Georgia voting laws, we're still playing. They don't care. That gaggle of whitey's going to go out there no matter what and play however they feel like playing. The Masters never bows to political pressure unless... Remember when the ladies used to stand outside the Masters and Hootie Johnson was in charge of the Masters? He was in charge of the Masters. Those ladies can stand out there until they all freeze to death in the ice age. I'm never letting them in here. He would say stuff on TV about how they never, ever let women join. And then he had to. Because, was it IBM? Gave their CEO position to a woman.
Yeah.
And that was an automatic membership.
They were a big sponsor, too,
yeah.
I think.
Well, that's really all that mattered is the money. But then Hootie had to go, and they brought in some more progressive people. It said, all right, you ladies can use the front door now. But the Masters is back on today.
They joined and... forgot to tell you, the only day you can play is on Monday.
Yeah, members. Monday, late afternoon, right before the flags get picked up.
Right.
And, yeah, there's a 5 o'clock.
We're
going to mow around you is basically what's going to happen. they were not kind, but, yeah, the Masters. I saw the article, and the Masters goes on despite Georgia's troubling voting issue. And I'm like... The Masters has never been the one that's been on the forefront of making the move.
That's the least that you're worried about.
That's really it, yeah. You've seen that there's still no black guys out there unless they're playing pro?
It's a golf course that caters to the white man's specific needs. I don't think black people would like it.
The Masters is also the place...
I think they do have now... I believe there are some black members.
Well, there are. Oh, yeah. Sure. There has to be.
Tiger.
A handful.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When a young phenom, age 21, went out on this glorious course that they also used to say, this will never change. It is a tradition like no other. This is the most beautiful golf course in all of America, most challenging. And Tiger went out there and threw a 20-under on him. We're going to change everything about this goddamn golf course tomorrow. And they made it longer. They mowed trees down.
We have to tiger-proof it.
They tiger-proofed it. The greatest phrase ever in We Hate You Sports, tiger-proof that bitch. Put some Perkins waitresses over there on the green so he'll be distracted. They changed. That would be like rebuilding Yankee Stadium just because, you know, a Samoan can't stop hitting home runs. We just hate them Samoans so much. Where does he hit most of his home runs? Make that 600 feet.
Stretch it.
And allow two outfielders in that one area. It's crazy. But so the Masters being, you know, oh my God, I can't believe it. Of course they're still playing. Plus, the money is humongous. They missed it last year. They had to play it in November. It didn't have quite the pop. This year.
This is making up for it.
They have to do it in April. And they have to get back on track. So the Masters back in. Hello, friends. Welcome to the racist tradition.
I'm in a pool. I've never done it before. You pick five players.
Oh, I've done one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never even come close.
They have pool for golf pool. Too.
And it's actually sort of fun. It makes you, is it a day-to-day?
It's basically the total score of the five players that you make because – you know, no matter how high ranked your player is, there's a chance they could miss the cut.
Yeah, he could ice. And I did that once, and I think I was out the first day. Like, every one of my guys shot an 80.
Yeah.
And then
when it comes down to the final, you have to predict the total score of the winning player.
Right. And that's not too hard to do unless it's a runaway. Most of the time, if it hovers around.
If they fired a 68 the whole time, all four rounds, it's like 272 strokes or something like that.
You get usually 8 under is a pretty safe runaround
and
for the whole
looking at the Masters, it's been everywhere from 5 to 16 under.
Yeah. Unless you count that one year that savage Negro destroyed our golf course. I love it. And then the best thing is they changed it, and Tiger came back and went, okay, this is actually easier for me. I don't have to try it. And he just destroyed it a couple more. We can't keep tiger-proofing it. We're going to need a new Masters court. Give this to the women. We'll build a new one.
Yeah, and there's always like three or four players that the course sets up for their play, Bryson.
Bryson DeChambeau. He's mouthy. But yeah, so the Masters is back on. But I'm so sick of politics involving itself in every single – I had a discussion – with someone in this building about that, political stuff aside, and although this person leans more left, and was basically saying, you know,
Don't you think it's sort of a baby fit that the right's throwing for changing all the rules after they lost the election? I'm like, sure, I totally believe that. But I said, don't you think it goes against, it counters against every Democratic fiber of your being that Coca-Cola and Delta, the two massive corporations, are the ones dictating political change? That's horrible. That's the scariest part of this whole thing. It's like when corporation money, and they already donate to the campaign, so I mean, it's already infiltrated that way. But part of the beef with politics is too much political money goes into campaigns. And now, not only is it going into the campaigns, it's basically saying, you know what? We're going to go ahead and not like this out loud. And Coca-Cola will pull out. And then your city has to do what Coca-Cola wants or they lose. No matter if the state's for it or whatever. Coca-Cola,
there's a little influence involved there.
A tad. And especially in Atlanta. You know, if Motorola decided to say, we're just going to pull all the money out of Phoenix unless you guys decide to have transgender, everything.
Intel would have the juice.
Absolutely.
$20 billion.
Whoever it is. If Intel said, we're just going to leave unless you do exactly what we say on this, it doesn't matter. Voting doesn't matter anymore. We don't matter anymore. Frankly, we haven't for a long time.
Right.
If money wanted to play the game, it's going to win every time. But like Tesla's about to build a big thing out here. Remember? If Tesla was going to build their factory out in Mesa, and they got mad at us for something and moved it right.
The glass for the phones.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That fell through.
What was that one about the immigrant something or other? It's like rights
that's right.
Immigrants.
I don't know if it was that one, but I remember there's couple of.
They just kept pulling the plug on everything.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl started it here in 1993 or two, whenever. Maybe it was before that, when MLK Day.
When was that?
It had to be like 91, 92, because the Cardinals had just gotten here.
Yeah, the Apple thing was
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But this was they pulled that, and they didn't pay attention to the truce. Arizona had monkeyed with all sorts of different things, and we had 7 different laws going for Martin Luther King Day. And Maricopa County had the deal where the stadium and the game was going to be played, and the rest of the state didn't, because it wasn't a vote.
It was your option.
And our stupid,
wasn't it?
Our weirdo government, Governor Evan Mecham, who was an odd dude, basically said, well, we're going to do this. Let's do it right. So let's get a vote on this instead of just railroading through a new holiday. And he pulled it as a state holiday. Oh, it looked bad. But the city had it. Like Mesa, we had the day off. I remember because I remember days off. New days off in 1988 and 89 were thrilling to me because that was one less day of school. So I'm like, we get MLK Day? You got it. I'm all for
it. Sweet.
It seems okay by me. And then they started to mess with it. But Mesa, we got a day off. I think I was in Mesa Community College the first time. I'm like, we get MLK Day off. This is great. A couple weeks later, we had President's Day because they hadn't settled that mess yet.
Then they took it away. Holiday.
Yeah. They took it away from Columbus Day and Italians started marching around. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Everything, still better about
that. Everything started getting toyed with. Everything started getting shuffled. And so frankly, looking back, you have to say the governor wasn't all that wrong, saying, hold on a second. We're pissing off this group to make this group happy, and neither of them were doing anything wrong. So let's just settle her down.
93.
Was it 93?
93, yeah.
Yeah, so it was, you know. But now you got every sporting event I watch, I have to sit and wonder, what political aspect is going to come into play tonight that's going to make it so I'm a bad guy for just wanting to watch the game? How in the world am I going to be set up to go, I don't care, again? Because you look like a jerk when you're like, oh, I get it. You guys are mad about it. I don't care. Play. There is certain parts of me that says, swing the bat, use the glove, shut your mouth. I don't care what you think. I've never cared what you think. I'll listen to you, and that's fine, but it doesn't really, it's not going to, if I disagree with you or I just don't care, it doesn't make it so I don't care about the entire issue. I just don't care about it from you, LeBron.
I'm the same with music, too. When these guys get up on stage and start doing their, I'm like, shut up.
That's my whole Eddie Vedder impression.
Yeah.
It was like I went to that concert. The first one I went to was at the Wells Fargo Arena where the Sun Devil basketball team plays. And it was Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and the Chili Peppers right when it came. And I've never seen someone work a stage like Eddie Vedder did. He was climbing on the rafters. He's 30 feet over the stage just hanging there singing. I'm like, this is insanity. And next time I see him,
we've got a problem in South America, and it's all your fault. We're going to get it out there, and here's my ukulele, and I wrote a little song about it, and the pygmy people of Peru, and I'm like, who is he? What is happening? Shut up and play.
I want to sing about tragedy.
I want to let you know about something that's very near and dear to me. It's the ladybug population in Texas is being decimated by the oil rig.
What are you talking about? Shut up. Jeremy Spoken. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Put your hands together for Spotted Owls.
Before we all get it done, before I sing another song, I know I've been going on for 40 or 50 minutes, but let's talk about the Spotted Owl eating the Woodbeak Bartle, Beetle Bartle.
One, shut up! I'm alive. You know the words. Let's do this, Eddie.
Then he brings out a guest for a duet, Sally Struthers.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Sally Struthers. The lady trying to feed Africans for the last 40 years on your television. Sally Struthers, come on out here. Or your meathead's daughter or something, wife, who cares? Come on out here. Oh, little girl, let's talk. Let's
above
talk.
Your head, coming in on a cable, is Caleb from The Shining. He can do a song with me.
Oh, once upon a time. I'll do it. Give me the mic.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to hear it. Nope. I do not want, especially bands that are just about fun and noise and everything else. There's nothing worse than like when Killswitch Engage, you know, a band like that says, you know, we just have to do something. I'm like, shut up. Shut up. I'm not here for that. I'm escaping that. That's why I come to this. I'm leaving it. Well, it's my platform. Oh, get off your platform, you prick. Saying your platform has a guitar and a microphone for you to yell and scream and make noise at me. Shut up and dribble is an awful thing to say to somebody trying to make a statement. But God damn it, I agree with it in a whole bunch of ways.
U2 started out that way.
Oh, U2 has never fooled you.
Then they kind of slowed it up. But
yeah.
I think they got away with it because it's like, oh, cool, look at the Irish passion on this.
Well,
it doesn't really affect you here in the States so much.
Well, it did. It started to affect everybody at Rhodes Junior High there for a little while. I don't know how, but I Will Follow became like some anthem when I was in eighth grade. And like, you guys don't. I don't know what the Irish strife is. I don't know. Am I boogin' ya? I didn't mean to boog ya. Like, oh no, he's going to talk again.
So just passionate.
Yeah. Sing. Early morning. April 4. Your whole song is a political statement. You don't need to talk in between. So, I am at my boiling
wits
point.
End.
I was watching, like, we're going to talk to Kevin Ray. You guys don't even know this, but Kevin Ray, the voice of the Phoenix Suns. When you're not Al McCoy, but, you know, Kevin is a good dude. And I've been hanging out with Kevin for a little while. He trains up there at React Defense Cage. I don't know if he wants anybody to know that, but. I mean, now they do. But Kevin's a good dude, and I get to hang out with him every once in a while, and we talk about all sorts of stuff. And last night, I turn on the Suns game, and there's John Cleese, Eddie Johnson, and Kevin Ray calling the Suns game. That's right, Monty Python's John Cleese.
Whoa.
And I'm like, what's happening? And I text Kevin. I'm like, this is the coolest moment in both yours and my life, because I know you. Like, I drink with you sometimes. So this is, like, the coolest thing in the world for me to be one step away from John Cleese, who's in town. And you know what the weirdest part is? John Cleese is a 20-year Utah Jazz supporter.
No idea.
How in the did that happen? So John
the mailman?
Cleese, John, yeah, it was after the mailman. So 20 years ago, Karl Malone was a Laker. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's a Utah Jazz guy. He used to be a – well, oh, here's how. I read this last night. So his daughter, who's a comedian, and they're at House of Comedy. I'll give that plug right now. I think Cleese and his daughter are doing some show out here, which, by the way, also makes me a little bit suspicious of Cleese, his daughter's abilities. Because if she was a comedian that could stand on her own,
start.
You have an 82-year-old member of Monty Python hanging around with you. I'm not going to see you. I'm going to just see John Cleese tell a couple stories, or that laugh, that most infectious laugh he has, which is unreal. But
unless she wants to buy an argument, I'm not going.
Right, <know? laughs> exactly. I want some of his old bits, and you're the new Eric Idle. Just play the part. Just do it. You're going to be Palin, and you're Cleese's partner. I don't know your first name, Deidre. I'll just call you Deidre or Portia or something. I don't know, but I don't. But there he was, and I was just blown away by the whole thing. And so it was that moment in sports where you're like, ah, this is what it's all about. It's the two best teams in the league playing, and a celebrity is on there, and he's not telling me about some charity I have to care about, and nobody's telling me what a bad person I am for wanting to watch basketball rather than, you know, go try to clean up race relations in the next hour and a half. I just wanted to watch the Jazz and Suns play. And John Cleese was on the broadcast just joking around.
How'd he do?
He was fine. He told some stories about basketball, and
Like he knows the game.
So
too?
His daughter, who he's here with, was a Bulls fan, and during the finals when they played the Bulls, John Cleese just said, "I'll cheer for them," and he cheered for the Jazz, and it kind of caught. So it was the Stockton moment, but he didn't get crazy about it until like 20 years ago. He's a Jazz fan. Utah. I don't know. All the way from Monty Python to Salt Lake City doesn't seem it's crazy. So, but it was the coolest moment, and I just thought to myself, this is what sports was. This is what I used to love. When Bill Murray would pop up in the booth with Harry Carey, the game didn't matter at all. Harry Carey and Bill Murray talking, and then when Harry had a stroke and Bill Murray did a game and just talked about – he did the Expos and Cubs and just talked about how terrible every Expos player was, and he made up stories about
him. He just incorporated it, full Bill Murray.
It would have been scandalous today because he said, like, some of the players' mothers were prostitutes, and he had, like, oh, yeah, that guy. I ran it, and he'd make fun of them, like, they owe me money, and, like, he's got a problem with the alcohol, that guy. And he'd just made up stories. And it was the most entertaining 3 hours of baseball you could ever do. And then you get, you know, Cleason with Kevin Ray and Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson's asking questions about Monty Python, which was – it was a uniting. It was the – we unite so much faster over, like, commonalities of funny and
– So is Monty Python still alive?
Yeah. Who was that Monty Python, actually?
It was just a friend of ours. No real reason to ask another question.
Then he'd call the game a little bit, and, like, he'd be talking about a story, and Donovan Mitchell would go up and – you know, he's amazing, and he'd put up a shot, and John Cleese would get all excited. And it's the first time he's ever seen them in person, was last night in Phoenix. Weird. What a story. And that's what I miss about sports. I don't want to hear your political views. You can do that on Twitter, especially now. The guys who didn't have political platforms, or may have had them, and had to fight that, you know, there's a few guys. Muhammad Ali had definitely an agenda, and it rubbed people the wrong way until it didn't. But they didn't have Twitter and stuff. These guys act like they have to do it all the time just because they've got Twitter. I got 46 million followers. I have to be true to my... Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear about it every single time. I'm escaping stuff, but it was a nice moment last night. So you're right. I don't know what's worse, though. Is it music or sports?
I mean, it's the same to me because, like you said earlier, they're both an escape.
Yeah.
And I'm not escaping anything. I'm diving deeper into it.
I'm actually like, okay, I was having fun.
Yeah.
It's like being at a party and everybody just goes, hey, could you guys, I know you're having a great time. Everybody calm down for a second real quick. And remember that there are like tons of starving kids all over the place. We're not collecting any money. I'm just reminding you that you guys are really indulging on free food, pizza, subs, and all that. You're having a great time. But there are people who don't eat. And I just thought I'd kill the party for a second and just let you know. You should all care. And
enjoy
if you don't,
Coachella.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh. I know Molly is fun and you guys are all having a good time. But
there are certain bands that you go to and you know that you're just going to
get
that.
It.
You know, Ted Nugent on Rage. One side, Rage, Ministry. It just, you know.
You have to tolerate with some because they lead with it. And
right.
I kind of respect that. It's like, no.
Although the time that we, not to go back, but when we saw the Nuge, I don't think he really... There wasn't time between
the. I didn't want to. I just stared at the whole one-armed crowd. Like there was no clapping. It was just whistling because nobody could clap. Everybody's only got one arm.
Just whistling through their one tooth.
Yeah, this weird whistle, just kind of half. I don't know what that thing was, but they couldn't clap. Like only half the audience had all their limbs.
Looked like a used car sales. All the waving sale inflatables.
Ted doesn't
the sleeves.
Ted doesn't give speeches. He just says stuff like, how's everybody doing tonight? Yeah. And then they go, anybody want to try to take my guns? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And he just goes like, what the hell? What's that? I don't know. Yeah, little shots at like, maybe that's because Hillary Clinton's face looks like somebody stepped on it. 2, 3, 4. Like, yeah, we hate her out loud. Yeah, he took a couple shots at Hillary, but there weren't any speeches.
No.
They're just jokes and like pointed, you know, right-leaning jokes. And then his music. I actually would have preferred if Ted did more talking.
I know.
That's one concert I wish I was at where they're just like, hey. Stranglehold. Thank you for that. I think we're done here. Just tell me what you're thinking about.
I think a couple of the songs they turned the guy on vocals, turned him down. All you could hear was
the guitar.
Oh,
really?
Oh, it was heavy.
Give me a little Amboy Dukes just so I know what it was like when you were 16, which was impressive. Stranglehold's in there. I don't know.
Bang, dang, sweet Poontang.
I'll take that as a closer, but somewhere between Stranglehold and the Poontang song. Just
free
eliminate,
for all.
Yeah, eliminate the list. All right, free for all. Throw that in the middle, but give me 35
Cat
minutes
scratch.
Talking. All Right, just for the fans. So there's four songs. That's really all we need.
You can throw that in a medley.
Yeah, certainly don't say, here's my new one. I'd rather hear you talk.
That's all them bands that come back. It's like, all
nobody
right, great.
The whole reason they're touring is for the new songs.
That's the beer run.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the promise of, hey, we'll play our hits, but you got to hear our new stuff, too. That's what we're selling. So I've never gone to a concert for a band that I like and heard their new stuff and gone, all right.
And went back and got the new stuff?
It's never sold me. It's always been like, I want to sing along and play and like goof off. I don't want to sit and go, all right, there's their new one. No one knows. It's an awkward moment. It's like going to a local show. But I certainly don't want to hear their political views.
I think that's one thing you'll actually agree with Paul Stanley from Kiss on. He says nobody wants to hear the new music, so we're not going to put any more albums out.
Thank God for that. Now, if only we could retroactively take some of their songs away. Nobody wants to hear any of your music. I don't know who does.
I don't know. Just seeing the massive amount of platform shoes walking out of there after the three-hour show. Oh, God, I got to go to work tomorrow.
We were talking with...
got to climb these stairs at the pavilion. God damn it.
And they're spun.
Oh,
like, their outfits were foam so they could be lighter. And the last one I went to, I was talking to our friend Chris Cotero, who is forever going to defend Kiss and 80s music.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing since or before was good.
That's
this
true.
This guy has, he's got this window
that's
of music.
Window.
Well, it's his window, and it's irrational. Like, it doesn't bleed out one direction to go, these guys are amazing. Unless they're trying to sound like that, no new music is. So we were talking, and I said, you know, you're not going to like this, because we were talking about concerts. He goes, worst concert you've ever been to? And I'm like, I've been to Jimmy Buffett. He goes, oh, it's terrible. I'm like, not worst. I've been to Vonda Shepard. What? I've been to the Spin Doctors. I've been to a lot of bad shows. Well, that's hard to choose from. I'm like, no, it's not. The worst show I've ever been to in my life, and it's not close, Chris, was Kiss. His head was
starting
to boil. It started
like
turning.
Reagan from The Exorcist.
When did you see him? And I said, it was a couple of years ago. Oh, you saw him at the end. I'm like, it was their farewell tour. This should have been all the bells and whistles. This should have been the final stop. This should have, if it's your last show, it should have encompassed everything you did in the 70s. Everything you've ever done should be on that stage as a reminder of all that you've brought to the stage. And he's like, well, and he started to tell me how good they were, and my head started shaking. Your head's shaking before I'm even finished. And I'm like, because you're not going to talk me out of this. This is the worst band that's ever played on stage live. The only time I thought they were any good was the Unplugged. When I was like, Jesus, these guys can actually play instruments. Okay. I was impressed, but I think Kiss is... Kiss might be a band friend deal breaker.
I enjoyed Gene Simmons' interviews better than...
I like him talking.
Yeah.
I don't like Paul Stanley talking. He does an awful lot of it. Not if you like Kiss, we can't be friends. If Kiss is like a top threer, I'm pretty sure we're not friends.
That's a lot of people, man.
Top three?
Yeah. Who? Not me.
Who are we talking about? People I don't hang out
with. Cotero's probably one of them.
Top three with Kiss? No way.
I don't know. It's got to be top
My
five.
My wife.
Really?
I bet you it's got to be top
she, three. You, yeah, but Ronnie has terrible taste.
That's why I married her.
No, that's why she married you.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. her movie tastes are questionable. We've known this about her for a while. It's almost endearing how much garbage she'll ingest. Like movies and Waterboy and Butterfly
But you're right.
Effect
there is a pa- I mean, there the Cotero's out there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Well, I've been friends with Chris for a long time. He's one of my good friends. Yeah. And if he tells me they're a top three, we're done.
Well, let's find out.
I've never had him play Kiss in the car with me.
Why would that change?
Probably knows
because
better.
It's been they've been a top three the whole time.
It's like finding out he's a drug addict. I just don't want to be around it.
But he
I don't want it in my house, Brady.
He doesn't flood you with
I
it.
I don't want it in my house, Brady. You're a what? That's what I would say. Kiss is the top three band. I can't live without it.
What if they're fourth?
Oof. We're still friends.
He's okay.
It's on thin ice.
Thin ice. Very.
Chris, keep it at four.
Keep it at four. I mean, unless he just doesn't care about being friends with me.
I know Maiden's number one for him.
Oh, yeah. He loves Maiden.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no, you know, it's not a top three because I've been in his home studio where he does all that production work. Not one Kiss thing is in there.
It's all Iron Maiden.
It's probably Maiden,
Loads
Overkill.
Of Maiden. And his band.
Yeah, your band.
Overkill's in there. Yeah, if Kiss is in your top three, I'm afraid we're going to have to part ways here. Oof. I can handle like a Kiss t-shirt. They're
I didn't, you know.
Their merch I'm okay
with. I've seen
them
3 times.
Oh, you know? All bad. That's 3 of the
and
worst shows ever.
The last one was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah.
I've seen them 3 or 4 times too, and same with me. The last time I saw them, it's like, it wasn't I'm done. I'm like, you're done. Why are you still there? They were never good.
They were always surface.
I was a little surprised because the last time was their farewell tour. Mm. Nothing farewell about it.
It's all icing, no cake. And the attention to detail was terrible because they used the satellite on the screens.
Yep.
And it hones in on the city where Kiss is landing.
Yeah.
And on top of the building, it still said jobbing.com. They just took it off of Google Maps. They didn't even try to. It hadn't been named jobbing.com in years.
That's good enough. Just put it up there. We're going on stage.
Thanks, Gene.
Handshake from Napolitano.
It was terrible. Yeah, they showed him wooden boating through the Grand Canyon. That's like 1930. Terrible. Worst. Yeah, that's the worst. There's deal breaker bands. I can handle, like, if you like a different, well, country music for sure. If you were single and met a girl and she's like, I'm a country music fan, you might throw it in there, but you're not sticking around.
Oh, you got to throw it in there, of course.
Yeah, she's a country music fan. You can fool her into having sex with her. She's not smart. But yeah, I couldn't be friends with a girl.
There's been some conversions.
Of country music?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like joining a cult. They'd start dressing different. They do different things. Their houses look funny. It's a cult. And it's too much. I can't be pals with you if you like it too much. You know? Like, I can't do it. I can't. If all of a sudden a guy came in, country music's my... You're going to love this guy. You guys, this is a good friend of mine. Just country music's my favorite thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know he was an idiot. I apologize. I misread that. He hadn't revealed that part of him yet. Couldn't do it, Brady. Can't be friends with you. I'm starting to... Like my dad says, I listen to country music. And I'm like, and we don't hang out that much. We talk because... We're father and son. We get along just fine there, but I'm not going to go to events with you so you can listen to country music. I'm not hanging out with my dad at that stuff. It's horrifying to me.
But growing up, for the most part, I mean, even, you know, from high school on, didn't do a ton of events with it. You'd go to sporting events.
With your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he started in with this.
You know, I never went to the
the
Letterman. Or,
my dad started wearing cowboy hats.
Four freshmen, or I don't
what
know.
What was it, like 6, 7 years ago, the old man started to wear a cowboy hat out in public and stuff. Almost done. So when he goes out with me, I'm like, leave the hat at home. It's crazy.
You look got like the a bandit lunatic. Black Stetson on and everything?
He's got a couple of those. But then you go out to his ranch.
Torp went through that stage where he wanted to pop into Shepler's and get that black cowboy hat.
Like the urban cowboy type thing.
He lives in Ohio.
But he goes hunting every year out
in
Wyoming.
Yeah, but he's not hunting in Columbus.
I know.
He's just at the McDonald's.
He wanted that Shepler's Western look. He never bought the brush popper shirts or anything like that.
Oh, Dad's got those.
But he wanted a cowboy hat. He was more like Clint Eastwood.
No, he wasn't.
John Wayne.
He was nothing.
That was his.
Then he's wearing a costume.
If you say John Wayne. First thing out of his mouth, fraternity brother.
Oh, yeah, he's in a frat. See, like my dad, you go up to his ranch and he's dressed in this costume. He's got this costume.
He's fully decked out.
Like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm wearing this. What do you got on? You look like a crazy person. Like it's April and you're. Why are you dressed up for Halloween?
See, it's like he's working at Rawhide or something.
And then we go out to dinner. And
that's
he,
why Texas. Now he can just.
Oh, no, he's thrilled. He moved to Texas.
Yeah.
I think he moved to Texas so people stop saying, what's with the costume? Because he'd wear it. And I'd be like, we're going to dinner. Dress like a goddamn adult. Okay? Because it's going to be, look, we're going to a restaurant that's dark. It feels cavernous. I'm not going as Batman. So you don't go as a cowboy and we'll have a nice night.
They won't let you in with the Wranglers.
They'll let you in, but I'm not going to sit with you. Because I'm going to be one of the other people pointing and laughing at the guy in the costume. It's part of the ranch lifestyle. All right. Looney Tune.
Ran into Tony Lama the other day.
Yeah. He's just walking around. Six shooter on
made
his
me
hip.
A pair
I'm
of
like,
boots.
What are you waiting for, Lone Ranger? What's going to happen here in Cave Creek?
Oh, I hope he wears Spurs.
Oh, he does now. Oh, he's decked out. He's probably lassoing something right now. It's hilarious. And my dad sort of looks like John Wayne, like in all the gear.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a look of him as a John Wayne face. He has this cardboard.
That's it. I'm calling him Rooster.
He's got a 6-foot cardboard cutout of John Wayne in his house. And I walked in. I thought he'd taken a picture of himself dressed up as. He puts a bandana around his neck now. So he's like a duster. I'm like, what year do you want this to be? It's a costume. It's adorable.
What's your dog's name? Dog.
D-O-G. Okay. But yeah, it's the cult. So I couldn't be friends with my dad if we just met. I have to be friends with him because we've got history. But if my dad all of a sudden said, I love country music and Kiss, I think it would be the last time we talked.
He comes walking up to you.
You're not my dad.
Yeah, you're not my dad.
I got two tickets.
Why couldn't you be more like Toledo's dad? let's get a wake-up song. 585-9800. A good one. And we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
You guys partake?
I'll partake. Hit me.